My message for tonight will be how to be a spiritual leader. I will point out some of the characteristics that a spiritual leader needs to have and some of the talents that they need to bring out and how they should bring them out. First point would be, they lead others to their own encounters with God. This is one of the biggest jobs a spiritual leader has. It points people to their own encounters with God. As we look and discuss at what a spiritual leader is, we will look at Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus by the nickname of Barnabas. Barnabas was a great leader maker. He was a person that loved people, not possession, and not the praise of people. Barnabas had this great eye for finding underlying talent and not looking at the shortcomings of people. He saw what was underneath them, not what was on the outside. Barnabas was humble and self-effacing and let himself fade behind the people he would nurture. Paul wrote 13 of the apostles of the New Testament, and Mark wrote one of our four apostles, Gospels, I'm sorry. The first time Barnabas was introduced was in Acts 4:36. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostle called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. In order to discuss this topic in more detail, we must understand what is the definition of a spiritual leader. It's hard to put a word to the action of a spiritual leader. A spiritual leader wears many hats. A spiritual leader can be a big brother or a big sister to someone in need, can be a chauffeur or somebody that just carries groceries. A spiritual leader not necessarily has to be somebody that preaches to you, but can be somebody that is an encouragement. Sometimes when we need it, just for a little piece of carrying groceries from the car to the house. Doesn't have to be your family member, could be a neighbor. A spiritual leader has to have this one skill set. A spiritual leader needs to have the ability to shape others towards Christ. Shape is a very strong word. That's the mission of a spiritual leader. To what degree do you involve yourself into shaping a person towards God? How much effort do you put in? How attentive are you? How willingly do you share your knowledge and connection with God with others? Are you like most of us and say to yourself, that's not my child or my brother or sister? He's not part of our clan or my favorite. Asta nu-i român. He's not Romanian, why should we talk to him? Why should we do this? He's Martian, or yellow, or purple, or green. I'm gonna make a little pause here and I'm gonna tell you guys a little story. A couple of years back, when I started doing mission trips, in Oregon with this big group of students, and we were led by this guy, Anyway, we went to Missouri for a mission trip. Oh, Daniel Gala was his name. There it goes. We went to Missouri. We were a bunch of Christians full of the Holy Spirit being moved. We're like, yes, we're going to show these Americans what it means to be a Christian. Little did we know. One day, it was our last day there. We went to get a cup of coffee to see how Missouri was. As we were walking around, we saw a group about five or seven. In Romanian, it's called panchiști. In English, I don't know how to say that. They had tattoos, colored hair, all weird clothing, everything. Us, being full of the Holy Spirit, we're like, hey, let's go minister to these guys. Let's go show them the real Christ. So we go over there, full of the Holy Spirit, stop them dead in their tracks, say, hey, do you know who Christ is? The guy looks at me and he goes, he's my Savior. Who is he for you? What did he just say? And he's like, yeah, who are you guys and what are you guys doing here? We're like, well, we're Romanian. We're full of the Holy Spirit. Like, yeah, me too, me too, me too. All seven of them. We were shocked. We're like, okay, what's going on here? So we started talking who we were, blah, blah, blah. Things went on. At the end, one of the guys goes, well, before you guys leave, would you mind if we prayed together? All the rest of us were like, we didn't understand what was happening. God works in mysterious ways. So we start praying. God, thank you for being here, Tatăl nostru, regular, că noi suntem români. One guy exploded with the Holy Spirit, started prophesizing to the guy next to me. Bounced, the Holy Spirit bounced to the other girl, same thing, full of tattoos, plastic hair. You would never think of it. Started prophesizing to the guy next to me. The guy next to me fell in tears. The guy next woman says, there's something wrong with you. We need to be healed. We were all like, oh my God, what just happened? The guy touched them, healed them. 2 weeks later, everything was perfect. Amazing how God works. That is a spiritual leader. Those seven people right there showed us what God means. We weren't to a mission trip to show a bunch of Americans how to praise and worship. They showed us what it means to be a spiritual leader. A spiritual leader is a person that doesn't care about walks of life, where you come from, or who you are. They encourage you and they speak to you. They talk to you about God. They like to mold and shape people towards Christ. Sometimes they play the bad guy. They will tell you what's wrong with you in order for you to understand. In this day and age, it's really hard. Not a lot of people like to say negative things. Everybody's like, hey, you're doing great. Hey, it's so great. Oh, congratulations. Oh, fantastic. Oh, so awesome. Really? If I'm so awesome, how come I don't have a job and my car just broke down? If I'm so awesome, how come it's so hard to pay rent? Why is my brother or sister not liking me? Why is everybody at school picking on me? Where is this awesome part? Why is it when I go to church, I am angry at everybody? How is that awesome? In order to shape someone or to mold something, it takes two actions. Addition, addition, and subtraction. A sculptor will add and subtract clay as he sees fit. Jeremiah 18:4. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as he sees fit. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He will take away the bad and he'll put in the good. Now, a lot of people think, well, the Holy Spirit is going to take away the bad. Well, if everybody tells you you're so awesome, how are you going to know what the bad is? In school, they have a really good way of telling you what the bad is. It's called a grade, and it's a big fat F. When you get one of those, there is no awesome of what you just did. You get an A, and you can say, all right, you know what, I kind of got the hang of this. You get a B, and you need to study a little more. C, well, it's close to F, so get back to studying. Shaping something, shaping someone especially, means you have to take risks. Get out of your comfort zone. Go out into the name of Christ and proclaim his name. Help someone in your own backyard, at your own school, at the job you're at the church you're at. Don't be afraid to be the bad guy sometimes. Don't be mean. Don't use your hands or bad words. Just be polite. Okay? Barnabas did this everywhere he went. A spiritual leader is a person that is full of the Holy Spirit and driven by faith. When you act on that belief, you do not act alone. When you're moved to go encourage or shape a person, you are not alone. The Holy Spirit will move your feet and will move your hands and your mouth and your direction towards the person that needs to be shaped, towards the person that needs something to be told. Could be the bad thing, could be the good thing. You don't know that, but you have to let yourself be open to that. And that's what Barnabas did. Barnabas didn't care. He went and told somebody, hey, man, you got an F in math class. Learn how to add 2 + 2. It's 4. You got 5 fingers. Use them. spiritual leader, when, okay, the Holy Spirit is moving you, moving your legs and your mouth to go talk to somebody. Do not be afraid of it. Go and do it, because Christ is the one who's speaking to that person, not you. When you're being driven by the Holy Spirit and moved by faith, that's who speaks. You are just a messenger. You are the body that the message comes through. Barnabas, when he acted on this, he saw something that needed adjustment or encouragement. Notice is a person not feeling so great that day and went and gave a word of encouragement. If he was not empowered by the Holy Spirit and not driven by faith, believe you and me, he would think the same way as the rest of us. I have my own problems. I have my own things to deal with. Second point. They lead others to discover their own purpose and identity. This is like crazy important, because it's hard to know your identity or your self-worth, which is a lot of people put you down, or a lot of people don't want you to find out your self-worth, because nobody likes to be cheaper than somebody else or have less than somebody else. Barnabas was a great encourager. I think that was his greatest asset. He could get along with everyone and had this magnetic personality. People just attracted to him of all shapes and sizes because of who he was. I could imagine if I was in those days, this is a guy that you looked at him and you just wanted to giggle and laugh because something was about him that made you laugh. He was not afraid of color, race, or walk of life. He moved freely to encourage and build up, nurture and mold the qualities he saw. Barnabas was content with himself. He was not worried of what others would say about him or how he was perceived by his peers. He didn't care. He knew that he was blessed with the Holy Spirit, and that's what was moving him. He didn't care if he went over there after a whole day playing basketball and he didn't smell fresh. He just went over there and did what he had to do. He's like, hey, dude, learn how to study. You got an F in math class. No, I'm kidding. A great spiritual leader is also a risk taker. A person that is not afraid to talk or handle a difficult situation. They are full of courage and strength with a little bit of daredevil sprinkled on top. A spiritual leader looks for people with better gifts than his own and pushes them forward. A spiritual leader would use his personality and surroundings to help others find their path in life. The path of the righteous is straight and narrow. Not all of us find it. Some of us will take our whole life to find it. Others walk straight, but right beside it. Many times, ourselves, it's what gets in the way of ourselves. A family member or a close friend will tell you something about you. If you have good friends, they usually catch bad parts that you have or bad acts, and they say, hey, you straighten up here, you kind of skipped a little bit. You know, we would look at them and say, who cares, you don't know what you're talking about. We're around this person constantly, so for us to accept a encouragement word or a lesson, I would say, it's very hard. Usually this happens around kids between ages of 11 to 14. They don't want to listen to their parents. They think they're smarter and they think they know everything. Yeah, I was there too. I'm sure most of us were there. Some of us are still there. But a spiritual leader will come to you and say, give you that same exact lesson. And you would say, wow, I didn't know that. You would take it as nobody ever spoke to you. It's part of life. As a spiritual leader, one day you might be there to that kid that must have heard that same lesson 14 times. Don't play in traffic. Don't play in traffic. And then he's going to go play in traffic, and you grab him by the shoulder and say, hey, there's a car coming. You just saved that person, that soul. That's metaphorically speaking for a little 13-year-old, but it could be for an older person. Don't touch that drug, or don't touch the cigarette, or whatever God puts on your mind to say. See, I believe the greatest spiritual leaders are seed planters. They walk around with a big bag of seeds, and they just plant a little seed of faith in your heart, little by little, here, a little bit there, a little bit there, with kind words and a glad heart, with a smile on their face. They're like, hey, 2 + 2 = 4, buddy, not 5. Here's a little seed. You'll learn later on. Sometimes the thing you'll say now will not click in for another 20 or 30 years, maybe never. But one time, the Holy Spirit will knock on that person's life, and it will be your voice they remembered. The way you are, your personality, your quirkiness, I should say, because we're all a little quirky and weird on the inside. Spiritual leaders have a good eye and a glad heart. They have this sense that can pick up graceful talent. They can sense when someone is just starting out or is just overwhelmed. The task he or she might be doing right now might be a little too hard for them. A person might be having a little bit of trouble perfecting their purpose or identity at the moment. That path is just a little too narrow. Yeah, they're trying to do what they were set out to do, but they're just falling a little short. A spiritual leader will come and they will see that, and they'll say, hey, good job, keep going, don't stop now, it's okay, don't worry, at the beginning we all trip and fall a little bit and mumble and stumble, it's fine, you just keep going forward. In Acts 11 and 23, when he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He went to that church that was just starting out, if we all read the books, and he was like, hey, this is kind of good. It's almost there, but they're working on it. Very good, very good. Keep going. Don't stop now. Because as soon as we get a little bit going, we get scared and we stop. And then you take 2 steps back, and Satan comes in and says, hey, you've done too much. Relax. Have a seat here. Here, have a cola and a smile. Take a nap. You've done too much. No, it's not true. As soon as you got a little bit of speed going, keep going. Don't stop. Don't slow down. Helping someone find their purpose, the self-worth, has to do with how someone believing in the love that God the Father has for us. That is not easy unless you yourself, believe in that with all your heart. You cannot go and encourage somebody when you're not encouraged. You cannot go and tell somebody, hey, you're doing great here, when deep inside your own heart, you're a little broken. Deep inside in your heart, something's missing. Well, Barnabas was like that. Barnabas was upbeat. He was joyful. He had the same upbeat and good cheer on good days and bad days. To him, a day just meant that he had one more day to serve and praise God. Since he was full of the Holy Spirit and driven by faith, he didn't care about anything else because everything that comes through God and for him. So we move forward. There's nothing that could stop you. There's nothing that should stop you. Well, it's kind of hard for us, some humans, some of us, to do that. A lot of people say, well, I am not so outgoing or outspoken. I get scared in front of people I don't know. Yeah, that's true. We're all like that sometime, a little bit inside, a little quirky, a little weird, a little different. But don't be discouraged, because your little quirkiness or weirdness will work with somebody else's quirkiness or weirdness. And in that day, they would say, hey, this little dude that's kind of an introvert is like this. Maybe I can be like this too. That's encouragement. Sometimes just seeing you do something might encourage other people. Another point, they lead others to transformation, not just production. First you transform yourself, then you produce something. Produce, in Romanian says, zice roade. It's a funny word. I always think of apples when I hear that. I always want to eat an apple. I'm like, apple sounds good right now. But these are spiritual roade, spiritual apples. When the goal is spiritual growth and health, production will always be a natural outcome. People function at their best when they function out of identity. Helping someone discover that their own transformation will be on the job will encourage loyalty and self-respect. Spiritual leadership grows passion in those who follow. Yes, you become passionate about what you are encouraging. You become passionate about what you're speaking. Just like those guys were really passionate when we went to Missouri. We asked them, hey, do you know who Jesus Christ is? They're like, yeah, he's our Savior. Who is he for you? We're like, whoa, okay, slow down, dude. Take it down. That's passion right there. That's somebody that believes in it with all their heart. Passion is the ingredient that moves people and organization towards transformation. A good spiritual leader will show you the circle of love that God provides. God loves us, builds self-worth, which empowers us to fight against the negative spiritual warfare. So, the ideas of, I'm not an extrovert, I get shy in front of people I don't know, I cannot talk to, people that are Romanian, I cannot speak to them, that's negativity. That is Satan saying, hey, sit down, have a Coke and a smile, you've done too much today. And that's not what God wants us to do. God wants us to use our personality and our quirkiness to go encourage somebody that is just like us. For every single person in this building, there is a simple personality. Everybody has their own. But I'll guarantee you that one or two people will kind of work together very well. Others, not so good, but some will. And that's how you encourage the ones that work together with you very well. And even the ones that don't work together with you very well, you learn something. Hey, this person's a little quirkier than I am, but you know what? We work together okay. A person cannot encourage or give kind words to someone else when they themselves are wrestling with negativity and self-doubt. That's the transformation. You transform inside. Inside, you are like, yeah, I'm a little weird and quirky, but I'm cool because God loves me and I go with faith and I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit. And you go and you tell somebody else the same thing and they go, hey, you know what? That's a good idea. And they go forward with that. My last point is they gain a following because of who they are, not what position they hold. Spiritual leaders are who they are because God empowers them, but that's their personality. Let's look at Acts 13:7. A man asks for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. In this verse, Barnabas is mentioned first, then Saul. Barnabas here still has authority. But when Elymas comes, the sorcerer, Saul is the one that speaks negative against him. Saul is the one that says, you are a child of the devil, an enemy of everything that is right, that is not right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right of the Lord? Saul was the one that said it, not Barnabas. By this point, Barnabas has nurtured Saul to be greater than him. At this point, Barnabas fades back. He fades. He's done. That's it. His job is done. He moves on to somebody else. In the next verse, which is Acts 13:13, it starts as, from Paphos, Paul and his companions sail to Pega. Barnabas is not even mentioned anymore. Barnabas faded in the back. A spiritual leader will grab and nurture somebody and help them out of the ditches. But when he's up and he's running and walking on his own and preaching and talking to other people, the first spiritual leader fades in the back. He doesn't need to be around anymore. His job is done. He cannot go back and say, well, yeah, I made that person come up like that. No, you didn't. It's because the Holy Spirit did it. You were driven by the Holy Spirit and moved by faith. Thank you.